Amen. Praise God. So you're welcome again this morning, and let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We thank God for His word as we share the truth that is written in the Holy Scriptures this morning. We trust in the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our guide, that He will help us to see clearly what the Father has prepared for us to see in His word here today. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for enlightening the eyes of our understanding and helping us to behold wondrous things out of the word of God. And as we see that which you are showing us in scriptures this morning, we pray that you would also give us grace to be doers of the word and not hearers alone. Thank you for helping each one of us to live not by bread alone, but by every word that has proceeded forth out of the mouth of God our Father. We praise you, Holy Spirit, now and evermore, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let us read together from verse 1 to verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Let's go. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, one thing we want to establish right from the outset, before we look closely at what we are sharing this morning, is that what is written there, here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, has to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the world. This letter was not addressed to the people of the world. It was addressed to the church. Timothy was pastor over a church. And Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to teach his congregation that these are the things that will be happening in the last days. In other words, we have to be aware of these things so that each one of us can make the right choices in our lives and say, well, I'm not going to be a part of this mess. I'm going to make a choice to live my life for the glory of God. I'm not going to follow this trend that will be prevalent in these last days, as Bible says here. Because this is the design of the devil, so to say. This is the way the devil wants to lead people away from God and lead them to destruction. But God has a plan for us as His people to walk in His own ways, walk in obedience, so that we may be blessed. God wants to see us blessed both in this life and also in the one to come. You see, God doesn't want us to just coast through life, so to say. He wants us to live victoriously both now and evermore by His word. We are to live by the word of God. So say to your neighbor, the key is to live by the word of God. And if you will live by the word of God, you will be living victoriously. now and evermore. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, let us just back up now to the first verse. This know also, so we should not be ignorant of it, we should know it, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So, what are the last days? What constitute the last days? We have to be very clear about that so that we don't get ourselves confused, because so many people have their own idea of what the last days is all about, but Bible is clear about what the last days really mean. It's not talking about the final 24 hours before God ends this world. Last days is actually a long period of time. And that is why, as we shall see later, a lot of people are scoffing, thinking that, well, this promise of God that Jesus will return, well, it's taking so long. Well, I don't even think that will happen in my own time. I might as well just enjoy my life, and then at the end of the day, towards the end of my life, I can repent and just make it to heaven. But you see, if we really understand Scripture, none of us will live that way. We will actually be living in readiness of the return of Jesus for us as his own people. Because the return of Jesus, as Bible teaches us, is twofold. There is one return that will just be in the air. Jesus will not touch this earth. He will just be in the air, and he will gather everyone that belongs to him, that is ready to go with him in the rapture. So he's not going to come to the earth physically at that point. He's just going to stand in the air, and the church will be gathered unto him. And then there is the physical coming of Jesus back to this earth that the Bible calls the second coming of Christ, when he will set up his millennial reign. And he will sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jerusalem. And Bible says all the nations of this world will go to him at least once a year to worship him and pay homage to him. And any nation that doesn't go to worship Jesus, rain will not fall on that nation. Bible says all these things. So that is the second coming of Jesus, because he came first to die for our sins. And then he's coming second time to reign upon this earth and to rule in the millennial reign, when there will be total peace here on earth. There will be no war. There will be no calamity of any kind here on earth. Why? Because the devil would have been taken out of this earth and locked up for 1,000 years. So that is the second coming of Jesus. Now, the last days, turn with me quickly to Acts chapter 2. The last days began with the first coming of Jesus, and it will end with his second coming. Just remember that. So every time you see in the Bible the last days, it's talking about a long period. So we see that actually the last days, so far as we know now, has been over 2,000 years in our own calendar. Because Jesus' coming, first coming, was over 2,000 years ago. And he's going to come back. When? We don't know. We just don't know. Maybe in another 2,000 years. Maybe in 100 years. Nobody knows. We can't put a date and time to Jesus' second coming, when he will set up his millennial reign. But you know one thing. Before we turn to Acts chapter 2, one thing is clear in Scripture. The rapture is going to take place within this period of last days, at a time when we don't even expect it. For all you know, the rapture may take place tonight. And that's where the danger is for us as Christians. If we are just thinking, oh, well, hey, it doesn't seem that Jesus is going to come soon. The millennial reign doesn't look like, you know, the signs are really ripe for the millennial reign to really happen yet. But you see, the rapture can take place anytime. Bible says it will be like a thief in the night. Suddenly, before you know, in the twinkling of an eye, those who are ready, they've gone with Jesus. And Jesus taught us the parable of the 10 virgins in order to help us understand that his coming for his own people is something that we have to really give our attention to. Because when it comes, it is those who are ready amongst his church that will go with him, not everybody. Not every so-called Christian will go in the rapture. Some Christians will be left behind and they will suffer in the reign of the Antichrist. They will really, really suffer and suffer and suffer. I don't understand why somebody would choose to go that way. It's better to just be ready so that when Jesus comes to take his church, you are caught up with him in the air. So what we should be doing as Christians is not even trying to figure out when the rapture will take place, when the second coming will take place. Just figure out how to keep yourself ready. So that anytime Jesus decides to come and take his church, you are ready to go. You are living in readiness. You know how it is when you've packed your suitcases and you are ready to travel. You are just ready to go. Hallelujah. That's how we should be living spiritually. Just ready to go. All packed, all ready to take the flight. Praise God. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, come, Lord Jesus. Not living in such a way that, hey, if Jesus were to come now, I have to repent first. Because if he meets me doing this thing that I'm doing in the secret, oh, I can't go with him. Well, you better drop that thing and stop doing it. Because the time of rapture will come suddenly. Bible says things will just be happening normally in the world. They are even marrying, doing merriment. Everybody is, oh, it's not coming soon. Let's just enjoy. Let's eat and drink and dance. Oh, hallelujah. We are having fun. Glory, hallelujah. Pew. Suddenly, those who are ready are gone. And those who are not ready, they are left behind. So say to your neighbor, the rapture can take place at any time. It may be in our lifetime. It may not be in our lifetime. But we have to be ready. So that if it should come in our lifetime, we will not be left behind. Amen. So, Acts chapter 2. So, the last days constitute a period of time between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming when he will set up his millennial reign. And in between those two comings of Jesus, there will be the rapture when we will be caught up in the air. And just be with him like that forever, those of us who are ready. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, moved by the Holy Spirit, help us to understand that the last days already began. So stop saying, okay, well, he's talking about the last days. We are not there yet. I can live as I like now. Then when the last days come, we are already in it. We are already in it. Say to your neighbor, we are already in the last days. So we have to pay attention to what the Bible says about the last days. Amen. So, Acts chapter 2, I'll begin to read from verse 14. This was on the day of Pentecost. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So in other words, Peter is saying what you are seeing right before your eyes. The Holy Spirit being poured upon us, moving us to speak in all the various languages that you are hearing us speak, which you know that we don't know of ourselves. So this is miraculous because the Holy Spirit is giving us expression of languages that we don't know naturally. So this is the supernatural move of the Spirit of God, and it is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel that in the last days, God is going to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. So we are in the last days. Isn't that so? According to that scripture. And the last days will continue and continue. Now drop down with me to verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Hallelujah. So Joel prophesied the last days from beginning to end. And Peter said it started already in their own time when the Holy Spirit moved upon him. And it's going to continue until the notable day of the Lord. In other words, the awesome return of Jesus Christ back to this earth. Because Bible says when he will come to set up his millennial reign, everyone will see him coming. And he's going to come in power and in glory. And he will set up his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. And after that, the devil will be released for a short time, and then the devil will make war against Christ. And then Jesus will consume him with the breath of his mouth. And after that, God will destroy this present earth and this present heaven, and a new one will come from heaven. Thank God that you and I would have been gone by then. And we are forever with God, raptured in the name of Jesus. But while we are preparing ourselves for that, we need to pay close attention to what the Bible says about the days we are living in. We are living in the last days. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 again says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous there literally means, please write this down, difficult, dangerous, and hard. So perilous times means difficult times, dangerous times, hard times. Hard times. And you and I don't need a prophet to tell us that we are seeing that all around us. And it's not going to get better for the people of the world particularly. It's going to get worse and worse for them. But for us as Christians, if we will obey the instructions of Jesus, we will live victoriously in these last days and overcome all these things, because it is the design of the devil to get as many people away from God as possible. Why? Because he knows his time is short. And he wants to get so many people away from God and get them into eternal destruction. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And unfortunately, he's succeeding because so many so-called Christians are not diligent in their commitment to God. They are falling into the trap of the enemy without them knowing. You see? We have to understand one thing. The devil is especially waging war against the church. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that, you know, towards the end of that chapter, that because the devil knows his time is short, you see, he's making war against all those who hold the testimony of Jesus. And that is why God already warned us about the days we are living in, so that we don't fall into the snare of the devil. He knows his time is short. He's the one bringing difficult times, dangerous times, and hard times to bear upon the world. So that if people that are living here on earth, including you and I, because Jesus did not pray that God should take us from the world, so that while we are living here through those hard times, if we take our eyes off of God, even as Christians, we will fall away into the trap of the enemy, which he wants to use to ensnare all of the human race. So dangerous times, difficult times, hard times will come. And things are going to get harder and harder in the world. But thank God for us as the church, they are going to get more and more glorious. Isaiah 60 tells us, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but we will arise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. You see? And that's why God has told us about what will be happening in the world around us for us to see, so that as Christians, we don't fall into that same snare of the enemy. But a Christian that is not obeying God's word will fall into it just like the other people of the world. You see, that's why Paul wrote this to Timothy to share with the church. He doesn't want any Christian to fall into the same calamity that will befall the people of the world. So say to your neighbor, dangerous times are in these last days, but we shouldn't fall into them. Amen. Now, the characteristics of what will be seen in these last days, in the perilous times, are highlighted right there in verses 2 to verse 4. And then verse 5 helps us to understand that, well, many Christians are going to fall into the same trap because there are so many carnal Christians, as the Bible teaches us. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness. You see, that's obviously not talking about the world. The people of the world don't even have any godliness at all. Bible says they are without God in this world. So it's not talking about the people of the world. It's talking about the church now. It's talking about carnal Christians who go through the motion of religion, but they really are not living their lives in the pleasure of God. So there is no power of God available to them because all they have is religion. There is no heart commitment. You see, if we really want the power of God to be at our disposal, we have to seek God with all our hearts. He said in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And it is at that time you'll be able to pray and God will listen to your prayer because all your heart is committed to God. And I tell you, Christians who live with that kind of commitment, they will go in the rapture. They will be among the five wise virgins. They will not be among the five foolish ones, you see. The other five foolish ones, they are virgins, which means they are church also. They are Christians. The word virgin symbolizes Christians, people who belong to Christ. But only five were wise. Five were foolish. So five had the form of godliness, but they lacked the power. They had the lamp, but they lacked the oil, the Holy Spirit, and the power of God in their lives. So when Jesus came, he couldn't take them with him, because all they had was just religion, no commitment to Christ. So say to yourself, I thank God by his grace, I'm not going to just have a form of godliness. I'm going to have the power of God working in my life. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit fully working in my life. I will take my lamp with oil always in Jesus' name. Amen. So God will help us to be amongst those who have both the lamp and the oil ready. Ready for the return of Jesus. Having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power. Now please underline your Bible. From such turn away. So that's God's instruction for us as Christians. We are to turn away from those ways that would deny the power of God in our lives. It's not just about, you know, religion. Saying, oh, I have a Bible. Oh, I go to church. Oh, I do this. Well, are you really living a life of obedience to God? Because, see, the devil goes to church too, you see. And the devil quotes the Bible too, you see. Remember, the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. The second temptation, the devil borrowed the word of God in Psalm 91. And said, Jesus, okay, jump now. It is written. He himself said it is written, like Jesus was saying. And he quoted King James Version. Don't think the devil can't quote King James Version to you. He will quote it and take it out of context, you see. That's why you have to know the truth and rightly divide the word of truth, so that the devil doesn't get you to be confused in the walk of faith. All right, so there is those that will have a form of godliness but lack the power. And Bible says we should not be among such people. And our prayer in this church is that no member of this church will fall into that category in Jesus' name. Every one of us will be godly indeed and have the power of God at work in our lives until He comes. Amen. Now, before we break things down some more, let's turn also to Ephesians chapter 5. You see, we need the power of God. We need the power of God. And that power comes by the Holy Spirit. We cannot get the power of God apart from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to release power in us except we are willing to obey the word. You see, the Holy Spirit works with the word of God. That's why Paul also, while he was writing to the church at Rome, in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, verse 16, said he was not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, you see, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the word of God with the Holy Spirit, who moves upon the word to perform it, constitute the power of God. And if we are going to really have the power of God working in our lives, we'll have to be people of the word and people of prayer. Say to your neighbor, you have to be a person of the word and a person of prayer. Then your Christianity will not lack power, and your lamp will not lack oil. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now again, who is God speaking to here? Is he speaking to unbelievers? No. A lot of people misinterpret that and say, well, he's talking to unbelievers. No, he's talking to his church. He's talking to his people who have gone cold, so to say. They are not as fervent in their heart as they should be. Remember, Jesus also spoke to one of the churches there in Revelation. He said, you are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. I don't want that. You should be either hot or cold. You are either with me or not with me. I don't want half-hearted devotion. That's what he was saying to them. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So he wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the church. The church that has gone cold to the ways of Christ. The love they should have for Christ has waxed cold. They've left their first love. And so here is talking to the church getting into mere form of godliness, just as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 a short while ago, but lacking the power. So he's saying, awake, awake from slumber spiritually and arise from the dead. In fact, some of us as Christians have really backslidden so much in our hearts that we are insensitive to the things of God. So we are dead to the things of God, you see. Our conscience is not alive to God. Our conscience is more alive to the world. We are more worldly than we are godly. Even as Christians, so many of us, that's why the Bible says we are so carnal if we walk in that way. So we have to wake ourselves up. Say to yourself, wake yourself up from your spiritual slumber and receive the light of Christ in full glow. Amen. We have to let that light glow fully, not dimly, but full glow, shining brighter and brighter day by day. And how do we do that? Just draw near to God, as Bible says in James, and He will draw near to you. Spend more time in the Word. As Christians, the time we spend in the Word should be increasing daily, not decreasing. And the time we spend in prayer should be increasing daily, not decreasing. We have to be pressing into more of God. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, there is a high calling of God for us in Christ Jesus. We have to press to more on a daily basis. Don't slow down. No. In fact, get yourself to go for more of God on a daily basis. Don't let anything slow you down. In Hebrews chapter 12, Bible says we should cast away from us all the things that slow us down in our spiritual race. Excuse me. All the weight, all the sin that doth so easily beset us. Bible says we should cast them away from us so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, it's talking to Christians. If we don't pay attention to all these things, the devil will gain the advantage over us by putting things on us and distracting us with those things, so that our focus will not be as steadfast as they should be on Christ and the things of the kingdom of God. Now, it says there, verse 14 again, Ephesians chapter 5, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because, please underline that key word, because. You see, God is warning us. He's telling us to do this thing for a reason. So when we say, hey, take your Bible and study, get yourself in communion with God, be more steadfast in your fellowship with God, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren, as Bible says, the manner of some people will be in these last days, it is for your own good. Because these are the things God says we have to pay attention to in these last days. The days are evil. The days are evil. So if we don't awake, if we don't arise, as Bible says, if we don't walk in the wisdom of God with circumspection of wisdom, then we are going to fall into the evil that is in the world. And God doesn't want us to fall into those things. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We are of God. So evil can pervade the world, but that's not our portion of inheritance. But if we don't obey God, we'll fall right into it. We'll fall right into it. We'll fall right into it, and it won't be God's fault. It will be our own, because we did not do the things that will keep us from those evil things in the world. So redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Praise God. Now, let's turn also to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we see another thing the Bible says will be happening in these last days, so that we don't allow the enemy to ensnare us with those things. You see, the first thing we looked at is that perilous times will come in these last days. Difficult times, dangerous times, hard times will come in these last days. And so many will begin to walk in their own pleasure, just focusing on themselves rather than God. They are no longer focused on God. It's about themselves now, because of the hardship of life and the difficulties of the days we are living in. And we find that so much now in the church. So many people now, even in the church, they are no longer focused on God. It's about self now. It's about self. It's about self. And these things are the traps that the enemy has set for us as Christians, and we shouldn't fall into any of them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, From verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So that's one other thing we are going to see in these last days. Again, the first one, perilous times. And second one we are seeing now very clearly is that so many would depart from the faith. You don't depart from what you are not part of. So it's not talking to unbelievers. You see that very clearly? Unbelievers never had the faith. So they can't depart from where they never were present. To depart from something means you were part of it before, now you've left it. So in the last days, Bible says there will be some that will depart from the faith. They will just move themselves away from the faith of Christ. Again, because of the difficulties of the times we are living in. So again, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Say to your neighbor, the devil is preaching his message. His message is called wrong doctrine. And he's preaching it to the church. Amen. You have to understand that. You have to understand that. The devil is preaching right in the church. Because it's not preaching to the people of the world. Those ones belong to him already. He's preaching to the church in order to entice the people of God away from the truth and make them lose their way, so to say, and depart from the faith of Jesus that will get them to heaven. And some Christians are falling for it because the devil is very smart. He will give you a message that is so sweet, sugar-coated. No responsibility. They just tell you, you know, forget about that, getting too serious with God. It doesn't matter what you do as a Christian. You are living under grace. Grace covers it. If you like, you can go and rob the Bank of England. You are under grace. If you like, you can have 10 concubines. You are under grace. It doesn't matter. Well, that's the devil's message. It's wrong doctrine. And if you really study the Bible, all these things started even in the days of the apostles. That's why we are saying the last days already started a long time ago. Because Paul, many times, will write to Timothy. In fact, let's turn to 1 Timothy. You see it very clearly that all these things were already happening before. Already happening before. Hallelujah. So they are all happening and they've been happening and they will continue to happen until Christ comes. Oh, sorry. I was in the wrong place. We should turn to 1 Timothy and we will see very clearly. All right. I'll read from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy my son, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3. Let's read that together. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Wrong doctrine is not just in our days. It started a long time ago. But it's getting worse and worse now because the devil knows his time is short. And that's why we have to awake. And we have to pay attention. And not just listen to any message. We have to check whether those things are of God. We have to be like the Berean Christians. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we're always searching the scriptures daily. You see, they were not lazy Christians. They studied their Bible daily so that whenever the preacher preached anything, they would check for themselves to find out whether it is so. They wouldn't just say, well, this is great Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, and that's it. He's the authority. No, no, no. No man is an authority where the word of God is concerned. The Holy Spirit is the authority. You better don't go by the name of the minister. Search the scriptures yourself to find out whether what the preacher said is exactly what the Bible says. If you go by the name, you'll be deceived. Because the spirit of error can afflict anybody, particularly when they begin to get famous. You have to be careful and just keep your feet on the ground and stay humble at all times. Now, so some would depart from the faith and they will begin to pay attention to wrong doctrine without them knowing that those doctrines are actually wrong. And they'll come up with so many kinds of wrong things, thinking that they are being holy. You know, some will forbid to marry. You know, we find that also in our days without mentioning denominations. Some will say, well, just be celibate. Some will say this. Oh, some will say that. Some will say this. Some will say, well, you don't eat certain kind of food. You can only eat this one. All kinds of things. But that is not sound doctrine. We have to get into the Word of God and stay right there. So there will be a departing from the faith, and we have to pay attention to that and not fall into that category. Another thing we'll see in these last days, which we need to pay attention to so we don't fall into it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus himself said these things about the last days. And it is iniquity that will abound. Iniquity will abound. There will be so much of iniquity, you see, and we must not fall into that trap of the enemy. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. I will encourage you to read it from verse 3 right through to verse 13. So that I can see in the context in which it is written that actually Jesus is teaching us about the last days, because his disciples asked him to tell them what will be in the last days and the signs of his coming back. But what we just need for now is the 12th verse, Matthew 24 verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So there will be increase in iniquity. The word iniquity there literally means lawlessness. In other words, people no longer submitting to the law of God. They just do their own thing. Say to your neighbor, don't fall into that trap. Don't just do your own thing. Submit yourself to the word of God. Otherwise, you'll be committing iniquity. Amen. Iniquity simply is something that is contrary to God's own law. It is unrighteous. It is lawlessness. And it will abound again because of the hardship of the last days, as the devil makes things more and more difficult in the world. People think, well, they can break the law of God and get away with it, because they just think that will be in their best interest. But at the end of the day, they are falling into the trap of the devil without knowing. You cannot break the law of God and get away with it. It's always costly to disobey God. The key to living victoriously is to obey God. Just give yourself no other choice. Whatsoever the word of God says I should do, I have to do. I give myself no other choice. If God says I should forgive, I'm not going to give myself any other choice. I forgive. Even if it's difficult, I'm going to go back to God and say, God, give me the strength and grace to obey you. I'm not going to disobey your word. If God says anything that I should do, I have to do it as a Christian. I don't make any excuses, because then I will be falling in iniquity and my love for Jesus will wax cold. And at the end of the day, Jesus will say, I've left my first love. He is going to reject me unless I repent. All right. Another thing that will be happening in these last days, which we need to pay attention to, is what Bible calls scoffing and mocking. Say to your neighbor, there will be scoffing and mocking. A lot of people will scoff and a lot of people will mock even the word of God. Amen. And I tell you, some so-called Christians are falling into it without them knowing, because they begin to question the word of God. Every time you question the word of God, you are mocking God. And that's why the Bible says God cannot be mocked. If you are a hearer of the word and not a doer, you are deceiving yourself, because you are not mocking God. You think you are mocking him? No, you are not. You are mocking yourself, because God will deal with everybody according to his own rule. You see? So whatsoever you find in the word of God, you better don't question it. Don't say, well, I don't see why that should be. That doesn't make sense to me. It's not about whether it makes sense to you. It's about God said. Just say, yes, sir. Your command be obeyed. You say, forgive, yes, sir. No question, sir. No saying, well, didn't you see what they did unto me? Then you are mocking God then. Just keep your mouth shut and say, yes, sir, I forgive. I forgive in Jesus' name. Whatever God says, just do it. Second Peter. And don't go into all the kind of argument that some people come up with in this last day. Well, if Jesus is coming, how come then it's taking so long? Well, if Jesus really cares, how come all these children are suffering? How about where there is famine? How come he doesn't go there to help them? You better just say, excuse me. I have better things to do than engage in those conversations. And just pray for them. God, open their eyes, for they don't know what they say. That's all. If you just stay there and you argue with them, they waste your time and things. Just tell them, well, you just need to understand God has given everybody choice. And what you choose will determine your outcome. If you want things to work fine for you, then choose to obey God. If you choose to disobey God, you are going to have the repercussion. Bible even tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So a nation that does not serve God, the devil will come there and wreak havoc. It's as simple as that. So you can't blame God for that. You have to blame the people of the land. Because the land is simply giving back to them what they are sowing. If you want things to work fine, then sow righteousness. Sow truth in the land. And everything the land, Bible says, will yield its increase. Everything will go fine. So don't blame God for anything. Just tell the people it's your responsibility. Change your ways. And everything will be right. All right, man. Okay. Scoffing. 2 Peter chapter 3. Quickly now, so that you can just take these things home and meditate in them. So when we talk about this type of subject, it takes quite a while, but I'm just trying to summarize them and give you things to take back home and study on your own. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So if you are living that way, if you are living as if you still have a long time before Jesus comes, you are scoffing. That's what the Bible is saying here. You may not say it out of your mouth, but in your thought and in your behavior, if your behavior is like this, then you are a scoffer. If you are living as though, well, I can do what I like, I can walk in my own lusts. I don't care really about what the Bible says, just about what pleases me. Well, I will choose and pick. I will do this, but that one, I can't do that one. I will obey this one, but I won't obey that. You are a scoffer. We are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, from Genesis to Revelation, not choosing and picking. I will obey this, but that one, I can't obey that. Oh, this one is not good for me. That one, no, no, no. Then you are a scoffer. Yes, sir. Because once we focus on our own lust, Bible says we are scoffing. It's like, well, we don't really care about Jesus. We don't care about his coming. We even think, well, maybe all those things are fables. And the devil will get in and convince us that what we are doing is right. Because he just wants to lead us away from the path of life, you see. We are not ignorant of his devices. Verse 5, Bible says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Ha! In other words, God dealt with unrighteousness in the time of old. He dealt with scoffers. Remember, in the days of Noah, people were scoffing at him. They were scoffing at Noah. But when the flood came, they all perished. Only Noah survived with his house. It's the same thing today. It's the same thing today. Some people just take the word of God casually. It's like, well, all those things, they are just for fanatics. I'm not interested in all that. Well, what are you doing? You are scoffing. You are making mockery of God. You are actually turning from the truth to false teaching. That's what mockery is all about. You are deriding the word of God and God who has given those instructions. Turn also quickly to Jude. We see another parallel to that. See, Peter said it. Jude also said the same thing. Jude 18. There's only one chapter to the book of Jude. So 18 says, how... let me pick it from verse 17. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You see exactly what Peter said. Mockers are just focused on what they want. They don't care about what God says. This is what I want. What will really give me pleasure and please me and satisfy me. That's what lust is all about. Not what God says, but what I want. And that's mockery and scoffing. Many of us don't even understand it as such. We think, well, that's just me. That's just me. No, no, no. It's the trap of the devil. Getting us to make mockery of God and not obey his word and come up with our own false ways and thinking that, well, we are right. And a lot of preachers the devil has raised up in the church, they are wolves in sheepskin and they preach wrong doctrine that make people mock the word of God. Because every time you obey a wrong doctrine, you are making mockery of God. So we have to be careful. Say to your neighbor, be careful. The kind of doctrine you listen to and obey. Amen. Finally, another thing we see about the last days, which Bible tells us clearly, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. See, all these things we need to be aware of, because we are living in the last days. We need to know what things abound in the last days so that we can be on our guard. We are not going to allow the devil to lead us astray. We are not going to allow the devil to get us to walk in a way that will make us fall short of God's best for our lives. God wants the best for us. That's why he has given us instructions to live by. But then the devil will come in and say, well, you know, if you do that, it won't really be in your interest. If you really do what God says you should do, can't you see that that's not going to really work out fine for you? Well, that's how the devil gets people to disobey God. Bible says we must not lean on our human understanding. Why? Because the devil has access to everyone's mind. It doesn't matter how spiritual we are. The devil has access to everyone's mind. He came to Jesus to tempt him. Jesus, while he was here on earth, was the most spiritual person. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Yet the devil came to speak to his mind in the temptation. And don't think he won't come to you. He will come to every one of us. He will try to get us to just reason with our human mind rather than obeying God's word. The same way he did for Eve and Adam in the garden and made them lose their place of blessing. All the devil is after is to make us lose God's best and the blessings God wants us to have. And even our eternal destiny in the kingdom of heaven. We must not allow him to succeed. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the sake of time, I'll just read, or let's read together verses 3 and 4. Let's go. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Hallelujah. That's what we are going to see in the last days. So many people not enduring sound doctrine. The word endure there means to tolerate. So if they are not enduring sound doctrine, it means they have a dislike. They are now intolerant of truth. When you speak the truth, they just cut you off. No, don't say that to me. I don't want that. Without them knowing that the devil already got them in a trap, because they don't want the truth. When you say to them, well, this is what the Bible says, they cut you off. You know how it is? Many in the church today, if you speak the truth to them, they just leave the church. But I always say to every minister, well, if you don't preach the truth, because people will leave your church, when you go back to God, God will reject you and say he never knew you. You better preach the truth. If people want to leave, let them go. Jesus preached the truth, and his disciples left him. Only 12 were left. Did he say, they are leaving, let me change the message? No. He even told the other two, I said, well, you want to go to bye-bye? You can go. As long as my father is with me, I'm fine. I'm not going to hide the truth in order to gather people. Because when you gather people who don't want truth around you, the devil will come and kill all of you. Because the glory of God is not there. It's better for you to have one or two people and God is present with you, because then the devil can't kill you. But if you just gather crowd around you and God's glory has left, the devil will kill you and kill the people too. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, said, the things I've written to you, take heed unto them, so that you may save both yourself and the people who hear you. You see, all these things are in the Bible. A preacher who doesn't speak the truth, well, the devil will kill him. And God also will reject him. So, preach sound doctrine. If people like, those who want it, let them take it. It will do them good. But those who reject it, well, that's their choice. Don't beg them. Don't beg them. Don't beg anybody. Don't compromise on the word of God. If you have a friend going the wrong way, tell them the truth. If you don't tell them, God is going to ask their blood from you. Bible says. Tell them the truth. Even if they don't want to be your friend anymore, that's fine. But you will be a good friend of God. Why did God call Abraham his friend? Remember what the Bible says? There was a reason. God didn't just like Abraham's face. No, he called Abraham his friend because he said, not only will Abraham obey me, he will also teach his children to do the same. And so he said, he's my friend. Why? Because God loves truth. God doesn't compromise truth. So if you say you have a friend, tell them the truth. If they don't want to be your friend anymore, fine. No problem. But you will be a good friend of God. It's better for you to be a friend of God than an enemy of God. Hallelujah. So we need the truth. May God help us. May God help us. May God help us. Now let's turn back to Jude. We are going to use that to pray. So how do we then make sure we don't fall into these traps that the enemy has set for us in these last days that we are living in? How do we ensure that we walk victoriously in these last days? You see, the key is right there in the Bible. We don't need the prophet to give us any other version. The word of God, the sure word of prophecy, is enough for us to tell us how to live and live victoriously in these last days. Hallelujah. For the sake of context, I'll read from 17, Jude. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in this last time, who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, now look at verse 20. Verse 20 begins to give us the key to avoiding this trap of the enemy in the last days. And it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So let's read that together again, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. One more time. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then when we do that, look at what would then happen to us. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I love that. In other words, keep yourself in the safety of God's will. So the devil can't get you now. Because in building up yourself in your most holy faith, how do you do that? Spend time in the word. Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Just the same thing God told Joshua, day and night meditate in my word. Don't be too busy that you don't have time for the word. You need to build up yourself in your most holy faith. Because if you don't, then the devil will sneak in on you. You are going to open the door for the devil to come. You see, faith is the shield, Bible says, wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When he begins to bring wrong doctrine, your shield of faith will block him. When he begins to try to get you to believe a lie, your shield of faith will block him. Then you'll be able to keep yourself in the place where God has prepared for you as his child, in the place of love, where the blessings of God will abound over your life, both now and eternally. And that's the place the devil doesn't want you and I to abide in. That's why he tries to lure us away from the faith and the ways of God and get us through wrong doctrine. So keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. So we are to build ourselves up in our faith by studying the Bible day and night and also praying in the Holy Ghost. Say to your neighbor, you need to be diligent in the word of God and in prayer every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are just going to pray in the Holy Ghost before we go. You see, we are just going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray a bit in the Holy Ghost. Because while you are doing that, you also edify yourself, Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He strengthens himself. The word edify means he builds strength in himself. He recharges his spiritual battery. He receives a fresh supply of the strength of God through the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in his spirit. It's good to pray in other tongues. It's good to pray with the word of God. Take the word of God, pray it over your life, and then pray in other tongues also. You see, you have to do the two every day of your life. You do it every day. Take the scriptures, read it, and pray it over your life. Praise God. I thank God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. Praise the Lord. No situation will ever defeat me in life. In all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through him who has loved me. And then you begin to pray in other tongues also. Hallelujah. In fact, let's turn to that scripture and use it as a sword of the Spirit while we pray in other tongues. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It doesn't matter what your situation may be here this morning. No matter the challenges you are faced with, the difficulties, because we are living in the last days, you see. These are difficult times, perilous times. But you see, in all these things, in all of them, not in some of them, if we will simply obey God, if we will live by the word of God, if we will depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, in all these things, all the challenges, all the troubles, all the difficulties, in all of them, not some of them, all of them, we are more than a conqueror through Christ who has loved us. Hallelujah. Verse 31, Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Now drop down to verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. I see conquerors here this morning. I'm looking at conquerors here this morning. So go ahead and pray in the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit give you the victory over your challenges, over your difficulties, because you don't want to fall into the trap of the enemy. You need the strength of God to overcome. You are relying on God, not on yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to pray. Give us the utterance to pray and have the victory that belongs to us in all aspects of our lives here this morning. In Jesus' name, moho kronondo so. Nenglalose, kranondo so, mama ne hete plomongo dosaya. Brenengelamos, kemromondo su, sanananana hata. Minglam robre kende bromonko so, nananana. Ombre menge de haya, lucromondo so, prebaketa namangela hasko. Bremienga do, vereraso, mandelie kom namondo si, manahata. Ombre menge de kaya la mankeri esu. Thank you for victory over difficulties in our jobs, on our jobs, in our businesses, in our homes, in our marriages and our relationships, in our families, in our studies, in our careers, in our ministries, in our walk of life. Every difficulties that have come our way in these perilous times, we release the power of the Holy Spirit to give us victory over them all. In the name of Jesus, victory for our children, victory for our husbands, victory for our wives, victory every area of life. We stand our ground in faith and victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Sankronondo Somananke, Libromonge de Su, Soranande Sunahiendo Samahale, Brenando, Brenando, Manke Promongo de Colorose Manadeda. Thank you, mighty God, that you said in your word that when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is released for every member of this church and every one of our fellow brethren in the body of Christ to overcome every difficulty, every challenge, every contrary situation in all areas of life. For we rely not our own might, we rely not on our own power, but on the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, so cran on the soup. Non clamongre bokena viesu senandela kia nonosaya libro monda libro condo manichele bose mangra nondo sus ragini e cola mandea o premenge bale costo promondo valecaia lubro mondo sananananana miengele bosa miengele cato promondo su parodone e makepa le grado dosa libro moncaia lama niongrodo senanane kiela. thank you for strengthening every one of us with might by your spirit in the inner man. Thank you for helping each one of us to live a life of obedience to your word in all aspects of our lives and our Christian faith and our commitment to you as your people. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for ministering abundance of your grace to us in this church and in your body anew today. Grace, 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 and much more grace. For you said in your word that where sin abounds, grace shall much more abound. Thank you. Thank you for your much more abounding grace that is available for us as your church to live victoriously in these days of perilous times. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Lift your hands to God and thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of God. That's why Jude says, build up yourself in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We need the whole armor of God to have success and victory in these last days. All your human effort and my human effort cannot give any of us victory anymore. The days are evil, Bible says. The devil knows his time is short. Doesn't matter how hard we try in our own human effort, we just cannot have the success and the victory that God wants us to have. It's time for us as the church to wake up and realize where our help is coming from and draw closer to God and choose to obey his word and prove him as the God who never fails. May God help us all to do that now and always in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.